This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The conversation about Common Core continued at the Capitol yesterday as members of the West Virginia Board of Education were updated on the progress of a comprehensive review of the standards. The board adopted Common Core in 2010 and worked to adapt them to be West Virginia specific, renaming them West Virginia's Next Generation Content Standards. But as Ashton Mara reports, the Republican majority's increasing disapproval of the standards has the board reacting to more talk about a repeal.
We don't need Washington, D.C. telling us what's best for our kids. We need to develop our own West Virginia college and career-ready standards. Common Core is not the answer for West Virginia.
The strong stance on Common Core was the first official statement from Senate President and now gubernatorial candidate Bill Cole on the issue. It came during his campaign announcement last week. Cole's party took up Common Core during the 2015 legislative session when a bill to repeal the standards was approved by the House of Delegates. When it came to the Senate, though, the legislation was placed in a subcommittee, negotiated, and downgraded from a repeal to a comprehensive study. That bill was not agreed to by the House and therefore never became law. But that didn't keep West Virginia Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Michael Martorano, from undertaking the study on his own.
There's been an incredible amount of work since the legislative session has ended. As soon as it ended, our work continued in earnest.
Martorano revealed the plans for the comprehensive review Sunday during a Joint Committee on Education meeting, but shared them once again with members of the State Board of Education Wednesday. The plan includes two parts. First, the state will launch a website this month allowing all citizens to review and comment on the standards. After the comment period ends in September, the West Virginia University College of Education will lead an analysis of the comments, along with West Virginia K through 12 teachers and experts from the Southern Regional Education Board, or SREB. The goal is to have actionable recommendations ready for the board to vote on in December.
This is the most, in my opinion, the most important work that's occurring in our state education process right now. As I've stated clearly to our board, the basis of our educational foundation is based upon our standards, and we have to have solid standards in place that are aligned to higher ed to advance our young people.
While board members fully support the review process, many still shared concerns over the plan that's currently in place, like Wade Linger from Marion County. He asked this question of Martorano.
One of the complaints, I guess, or criticisms about the standards are that they don't really make a result in college and career readiness. And it occurs to me that since we're involving higher ed so heavily in this, I'm wondering, when they present whatever it is they present, can we get some sort of a statement from them or a certification that if you do these things, then, and the kids are brought up to these standards, that they will be college and career ready?
This process will strengthen, I believe, the West Virginia process of complete alignment to higher ed, and I don't believe we're going to have any problems getting the endorsements from our presidents who are already behind us.
New board member James Wilson says he's concerned with the makeup of the review committees.
Looking at the review committees, it appears to me that it's all educators on the review committees. I think we might get accused of stacking the results if we don't include...
You want to talk about that?
Some people that oppose our standards on these committees.
Sarah Stewart, the State Department of Education's Director of Government and Policy Relations, says those committees aren't set in stone just yet. WVU is helping the department come up with a process of identifying other stakeholders, which may include, Stewart says, asking county superintendents for recommendations. Another concern, Wilson says he was under the impression that there would be community meetings held across the state during this review process. Stewart says WVU is also helping establish those meetings through their extension offices. Board member Dr. William White says community engagement is going to be an important part of the process, and he wants to see those meetings happen.
We don't want people, our general public, to think that this board thinks they're stupid.
Exactly.
And so we really need to make sure that we're bringing them into the process and having these kinds of discussions, and they can talk about, because, you know, a lot of the people who are out there beating the crap out of us right now are not educators.
Right.
They're part of the general public, but they're loud and they're being heard.
White says he wants to ensure they're being heard by the board as well. New board member Beverly Kingery is a former county superintendent. She shared this advice with Martirano.
This timeline is aggressive, to use one of your words. It is robust, to use one of your words, and that we have to stick with this. And those who may say to us, it's not possible, it's just like when I was a superintendent or Mike's an executive of a company, I need this by noon tomorrow and there's no negotiating with it. We have to be non-negotiable with what we need done and how we need it done.
The online comment period for members of the public will begin before the end of the month, according to Martirano. In the meantime, members of the legislature have already received a draft bill calling for a repeal of the standards. That bill is expected to be introduced during the next session in January, with the full backing of leadership in both the House and Senate. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:50. Mostly sunny and hot today. There's a chance of showers this afternoon. Temperatures in the 80s to low 90s. Partly cloudy overnight with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Lows in the 60s. Mostly sunny. Continued hot on Friday with highs in the 80s to near 90 degrees with scattered rain and thunderstorms in our forecast.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
Even if Backbone Food Farm didn't sit below Backbone Mountain, its name still would be very appropriate. That's because Max Dubansky and his family farm the way he learned from the old timers, like letting pigs turn the soil and using horses to work the land. To find out how traditional farming methods are being kept alive in this small corner of the Appalachian Mountains, Jesse Wright spent a day at Backbone Food Farm in Garrett County, Maryland.
Max Dubansky and his family farm 50 acres in Pleasant Valley outside Oakland, Maryland, on the edge of the Allegheny Mountains. I joined Max for a walk around Backbone Food Farm in early spring. The sun was just breaking through the clouds onto a scene of serene, rolling green hills.
Being high elevation where we are here, we like to grow a lot of cool weather crops. So, you know, lots of lettuces and greens, carrots.
The farm also produces several kinds of edible and medicinal mushrooms, along with berries and fruit. So about 25 different crops in all. Max got his love of growing vegetables from his father. His parents moved out to Garrett County from Baltimore in the 1970s so they could grow a large garden. But Max says it wasn't until he left high school that he became interested in farming as a profession. He started caretaking a farm in the area and began learning the trade, mostly through trial and error.
But the biggest asset for me was the old people. The last of the true old-timers were still around, and I learned infinite amount from just hanging out with those guys about farming in general and working horses and, you know, just making it on the farm without much.
In following those old traditions, animals have become an integral part of the farm.
By having animals, that's definitely helps, you know, keep everything in balance. I feel like, you know, a farm isn't really a farm until you have animals. You know, it's personal. Personally, I feel that way, but
that's Max's wife, Catherine. She met Max while they were both working on a small farm outside Flintstone in Maryland. They've been married for 18 years and have four children. They began caretaking Backbone Food Farm 16 years ago and bought it outright in 2013. Max says many of the farm's fields were overworked and depleted of nutrients when they took it over.
Hey, pig. Hey, pig. Hey, pig. Hey, pig. And the pigs have just been amazing as far as using their natural inclination to root. We've been able to, like, plow large amounts of ground with them.
The pigs are a heritage breed, aptly called large black hogs. They have black skin and hair and are adapted to living outside.
With the heritage breed, too, they're registered, so there's only, like, 800 of these pigs in the entire country. So we're kind of trying to get the stock back up.
When the weather warms up, the pigs are moved from the barn into the fields.
Pig manure is really powerful stuff. And just aerating the soil up there where they are, we've noticed dramatic improvements in our pastures, like with the grass and clover growth.
Backbone stands out in the surrounding community of small growers because draft horses are used to do most of the work on the farm instead of tractors.
Once the land is plowed, then it's all horse work. We do all the cultivating, all the bed forming, everything with horses.
Tractors are used when time is short, but Max says he feels using a tractor disconnects him from the process of working the land.
You can't hear the birds singing. You can't, you know, you're in a cab. You can't feel the wind or whatever. Where horses, it slows the work down.
He says working with horses also brings a spirit of cooperation.
It's me and the horses we're all the team that are working together, and I have to pay attention constantly to how they are and how they're feeling, and they're constantly paying attention to me. So it adds this whole another layer and dynamic to the work that I just really enjoy. It makes me feel more involved with everything I'm doing.
We're standing on the edge of what looks like a field of short grass. The land in front of us is broken up into similar patches that extend into the distance. Max says he only grows vegetables every other year on each patch. What looks like grass is actually a cover crop that's used to return nutrients to the soil in the years between vegetable harvests.
This is rye and crimson clover, hairy vetch. There's legumes in here too, which fix nitrogen from the air. So we're collecting free nitrogen.
Max rips a handful of leafy rye from the field we're standing on, exposing the roots and soil beneath.
You can see that little white ball right there.
He points out a white sphere about twice the size of a pinhead attached to the root.
That's actually a nitrogen nodule that the leaves have taken the nitrogen out of the air and affixed it to the root. And then when you plow that in, it rots in and makes it available to other plants.
Max says one advantage he has is lots of land. By using crop rotation and animals to work his fields, he can essentially grow his own fertilizer. So just about everything the farm needs to grow crops is generated on the land. Most of the waste that the animals produce is turned into fertilizer. That fertilizer is used to grow crops. Catherine says using that closed-loop system helps cut down on the amount of pollutants the farm generates.
We like to see the whole, you know, cycle of fertility right here so that we don't have to import fertilizers and we don't have to, you know, there's not a whole lot of extra waste that comes out that we have to find a place for it to go.
On top of growing food for markets and restaurants in the area, Backbone also serves as a place to learn about small-scale sustainable farming. Max and Catherine bring in two or three apprentices a year who stay on the farm for 6 months. Max says apprentices can range in age from 18 to 40.
It's mostly younger people that are interested in farming and want to get an idea of what it actually takes to run a family farm.
Well, I wanted to do some farming. I wanted to learn more about it, more about sustainable farming, and hopefully farm in the future and make a living out of it.
Andy Hinnenkamp grew up in Kansas and went to college in Nebraska. The 23-year-old says she hopes to take what she learns during her time as an intern on the farm back to Kansas.
I think that would be really cool, something that could sustain a life but also make a living.
Passing on knowledge is important at Backbone. Sitting around the kitchen table in his farmhouse, Max says he feels fortunate to have learned from the last of the old folks in the area who use traditional methods.
And so I feel like almost that I'm this bridge, you know, that like I'm really lucky that I caught the tail end of that, and I'm this bridge that can take it to these people in their 20s.
Some of Backbone's apprentices have gone on to start farms of their own nearby. The owners of Round Right Farm in Preston County and Savage River Farm near Frostburg in Maryland got their start under Max and Catherine's tutelage. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright.
And you can find Backbone's produce and shiitake mushroom logs at the Morgantown Farmers Market. They're also at markets in Frostburg and Oakland and Maryland, where they sell their pork and beef. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.